Thanks, Leslie. It's really good to be with you. I feel a bit like Abby. I love coming back here. So thanks for the invitation and for the welcome. I want to look this morning at part of the passage that Abby just read to us. That phrase that says, "You have need of endurance." And I don't know what comes to mind when you think about enduring. Oh, I'm just going to have to endure it. With the most miserable face and probably just feeling absolutely wretched. And I want to say this morning that endurance in the Bible is nothing like that. Endurance in the Bible is that I'm going to keep going with a sense of hope and confidence. I am not giving up. I'm not quitting. I am pressing through this. It's not a bad word, is it? We've been... some of us have been looking at the Commonwealth Games, yeah? And you know, when you see somebody winning a medal, when you see somebody actually riding high in their race, then you know there's been a lot of endurance before they get there. Because endurance has to push through discouragement. How many of those athletes have been in situations that were utterly discouraging? Don't you love Geraint Thomas? You know, he's off his bike, and what does he do? Give up? No, not likely. He's back on his bike. Discouragement will not put him off. Distractions. These guys get up and they train, and they eat the right stuff, and they get out of bed in the morning because they've got a focus. They're looking ahead. I'm going to win that race. And distractions can so easily put us off, can't they? There's sacrifices to make. They didn't get there without giving up some other stuff. And there may be injuries. They may get hurt in the process. And there may be disappointments. But I know he's not in the Commonwealth Games, but this is one of my besties. So... Don't you love that? Usain Bolt, you know that sense of I'm going for it, and look at his face. He's enduring in order to get there, but he's so focused. And I want to say that for us, endurance is that hopeful fortitude. Now, there's another word. Is that one a good one? Fortnight, yeah. Fortitude. I looked it up in the dictionary this morning because I thought I must be sure. And it's that patient courage, that inner strength, you know, and that's what God is asking of us, that we need that. So has everybody got one of these? Yeah? Anybody not got one? Ruth, I'll give it to you in a minute. If I could just read it, then I'll give it to you. So I've put here, this is the verse I want us to focus on today. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Whatever's going on around you, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive all he has promised. Wow! All he's promised is coming to you. If you just have that holding on, that endurance, and you don't throw away your confidence... So endurance is perseverance, bearing up under stress, this hopeful fortitude, active resistance to defeat. I'm going for it. I'm not just going to give in to defeat. I'm going for it. It's not passive resignation. So that's what I want to talk about. And I want to look at it in... what I want to say is endurance, perseverance, is courage with a smile on its face. Courage with a smile on its face is what we're talking about this morning. So we've got here reading from Hebrews. I just want to very quickly sketch the background. Hebrews is written by we don't know who. There are all sorts of ideas and theories. We just don't know who wrote Hebrews. It was someone who knew Timothy. It was one of Timothy's friends. I like that. At the end of Hebrews, He refers to our dear brother Tim. No, he doesn't, Timothy. My brother's Tim. And I love him to bits. But so whoever it is someone who knows the guys around, is familiar with them. And he says, I'm hoping to come and see you. So he's a very credible character, whoever he is. And it's written to, well, actually, we don't really know who. It's called the Letter to the Hebrews because it's so rooted in the Old Testament. And it's written to Jews who have become Christians, who have gone through extreme difficulty and trouble and suffering and were in danger of giving up. This is written to guys who can remember the old days, but it's just so, got so tough, they're in danger of giving up. And so that's who it's written to. Don't know if anything's ringing any bells with anybody. It does with me. And in the book of Hebrews, there's a real pattern in the way the writer writes. He gives a really solemn warning. He warns them of things that are really serious, a solemn warning. Then he gives them encouragement. And then he likes this phrase, let us. And then he says, look, there are some dangers, there are some pitfalls to be very, very cautious about. There's some encouragement, remember this. And then it's like he says, come on, come on, don't give up, let's go for it. So that's all I'm going to say really about the background, other than to say this is encouragement to endure through the tough stuff. This is encouragement to endure through the tough stuff. And I want to pick out from the passage that Abby read to us, three gems. There are plenty more there, but I'm going to pick out three this morning. And the first one is in verse 32. Remember those early days after you had received the light, were enlightened, were illuminated, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. So the first thing I want to say is and do scribble, if you want to write notes, if something hits you in the face this morning and you want to write something down, those bookmarks are for you to take home. But the first thing is remember with thanks. Think back a moment. When were you enlightened? When did God's light shine into your heart? And you saw him and you saw truth. And you saw yourself, and God shone his light into your heart. We've been illuminated. The light of heaven, Jesus Christ, the light of the world himself, has shone into our hearts. Can you remember? Can you remember when it was, when you first met the Lord, when you first had that light shine in your heart? And a good teacher knows how easy and how serious it is to forget. A good teacher will keep reminding. And I believe that the Lord, the wonderful teacher, wants to remind us again today, remember when his light first shone into your heart. I want us to literally do that. Just take a minute now. When did you first know the light of the gospel shining in your heart? Can you remember that? Or has it never happened? Because if it hasn't, today can be that day for you when God's light shines into your heart. And I want to think about two things, really. The cost of our salvation. You know, when God's light shone into your heart and you realized the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you remember the day when that really shone into your heart? all my sin, all that stuff I don't want anybody else to find out about, all the guilt that I walk around with, all the stain, all the power that sin has over me. Do you know Jesus paid it all? And it's today we need to remember when we were first enlightened, when we first realized how bad I am and how good he is. When his light shone into my heart, Jesus paid it all. Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Today is important to remember. This is what the gospel is all about. He saw my need. He saw my desperate need. I was far from God, and he gave himself to bring me back. There was a journalist called Stephen Farrell who was working in Afghanistan many, many years ago, and the journalists were told not to go to a particular area of Afghanistan. It was too dangerous. But he wanted a good story, so he decided he would go. And he was captured, and they sent the SAS in to rescue him. And they found him and they rescued him. But in his rescue, one of the SAS soldiers was killed. And Stephen Farrell said, in the helicopter on the way back, his blood-stained helmet was in front of me. And then he said, thank you will never be enough. And he couldn't thank the man who gave his life to rescue him. But we can. The Son of God, his blood-stained cross needs to be in my mind. I need to remember, he gave his life to rescue me. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. But the second part about the wonder of the gospel is not just the cost, but the closeness. Can you remember when you first met the Lord? How precious it was to be with him. How close he felt. How much his love impacted your heart. That you knew and you were just aware of, he is with me. He's right there. You know, that was when you were enlightened. And these guys, because they've been through such difficulty, need to be reminded, remember when you were enlightened. I wonder how long it is since, you see, when Jesus died, the curtain that separated us from God was torn from top to bottom. And earlier in Hebrews, he said, let us draw near. And that's what happened when you came to know the Lord. The curtain had been torn because of what Jesus had done, and you were welcomed in. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But how long has it been since you felt that closeness? How long has it been since you drew near to the Lord? How long has it been since the Holy Spirit poured the love of God into your heart? And you knew that closeness with him and that love. Let me read what Paul writes in Romans. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And he wants us to know that closeness again. The Holy Spirit wants to pour the love of God into our hearts. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm a bit of a moving target. How can you do that when I'm always busy at something else? You know, and I think one of the challenges today is, how about taking some time today to say, Lord, ignite that love in my heart for you. Draw me close to you. Lord, renew that passion that I had for you. He made us alive by new birth. We were dead and he made us alive and we received the light. Do you know what? We need to preach the gospel to ourselves. It wouldn't hurt us to stand in front of the mirror and say, Jesus Christ came and gave himself for you. He came to seek and save the lost, and that's you. He's forgiven your sin. That's you. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves. We've been made clean and we need to walk clean. But we've been loved beyond reason. Why should God love us? No reason at all, but we've been loved beyond reason. So just for a moment, just in Jude, he says, he writes again to Christians and he says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. This is it. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ. You know, we have something to do with keeping ourselves in the love of God and remembering what he's done. I'd like us just to take a moment, and maybe you want to hold your hands out as I'm going to do and say, Lord, renew my gratitude to you that you gave yourself for me. And Lord, renew my love for you. Draw me close. Let's just take a moment. Lord, come and shine your light into our hearts again. Thank you that you loved us and revealed yourself to us. Lord, do it again. Do it here, Lord. Do it now, we pray. And light that flame in our hearts again of love and passion and gratitude to you. Amen. So, I said I got three things. That was one. The next two are quicker, you'll be pleased to know. If we could move on. So here, previously, earlier in the chapter, this is what he's written. Let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the faith we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So what I want to say here is stand together. You know, this is earlier in the chapter and he says it again. Abby read it and it, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. That's what happened to these guys. Their property was taken and they joyfully accepted it because they'd been through huge, huge trouble and they were standing together. So in the next one, all of those green yous are plural. You together. You together. And I want to say today, you know, you'll endure here when you stand together. Actually, that word stand together can also be called partnering. Have you partnered with someone and you're just in it together? Roll up the sleeves, up to your elbows, in it together. But you know, it's a wonderful thing that that's also the word that is used in the Bible of fellowship. And we have fellowship with the Father. You know, we have fellowship, we're partnering together, but we're also in that close partnership with God himself. And these dear Christians had endured terrible suffering, deep trouble, insults, danger, imprisonment, deep loss, possessions, relationships, health, expectations, and they needed each other to keep going. And we need each other to keep going. And God has called us to stand together. I was away recently at an outdoor pursuit centre on a holiday for single parents and their children, and it was great, and I've done all sorts of things that I didn't think I would do, and I won't bore you with the stories of my rock climbing and canoeing and abseiling, but high ropes, I gave high ropes a miss, but low ropes. These kids were trying to walk across a rope, and the instructors were constantly saying, buddy up, buddy up. There's one of you on the rope, but the others stand around so that if they slip, you're there to hold them up. And I think the scripture here is saying, come on, buddy up. Stand around each other, support one another. So just two ways that we can support one another. Lift up the fallen. Isn't that a lovely picture? Strengthen the fainting. Sometimes one-to-one, we need someone to come and lift us up. And these guys were told, stand side by side, even if it means danger and misunderstanding for you. Imagine going to visit someone in prison who's there because they're a Christian. My goodness, that puts you in danger, doesn't it? But these guys had done that. They'd stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and they've seen someone who's fallen, and who knows, sometimes we fall and it's our own fault. We've done something stupid, we've done something unwise, and we've fallen. Sometimes it's because there's an attack and the enemy has just come in like an ambush. Sometimes it's because there's an obstacle in the way and instead of climbing onto it, I tripped over it. But I need you to come along and lift me up and strengthen me when I'm fainting and weak. In Thessalonians, again, Paul writes, you know, none of this is, if you like, is particularly unique to these Hebrews. He says this, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You know, that's what we need to do. Not to criticize, not to ignore, not to reject, but to come alongside and I'll lift you up. I'll stand with you. And then there's another picture here of spur one another on. Sometimes it's one-to-one, sometimes it's a group. And this picture is taken somewhere in Eastern Europe. It's not Ukraine. I'm not sure where. And these people are escaping an explosion in their village. And they're just getting out. So they're a bit battered. They're a bit the worse for wear. They are struggling. They're escaping an explosion. I don't know if that feels familiar. And they're walking into the unknown. But they're together. Can you see that lovely picture of, do you know what? Together, we are going to go on. Isn't that a great picture? Doesn't that say an awful lot? And we together need to speak hope and faith to each other. We need to put an arm round and say, let's walk this path together. When my husband was, he had several bouts of cancer, but the last one was clearly terminal. And his friend Pete Hodge, I don't, some of you will know Pete, came to visit him one day, and Pete said to him, David, I'm going to walk this journey with you. And he did. He just kept coming. He just kept encouraging. He couldn't change the circumstances, But he said, I'm going to walk this journey with you. And he did right to the last. And I think that's what the Lord is asking us. Walk the journey together. But, you know, there are times when even the love and the support of other Christians isn't enough. And there's a wonderful verse in Isaiah. Isaiah, you might want to write this one down. It might be really helpful for someone. Isaiah 51:12 says, I am he who comforts you. You know, sometimes there's stuff that's so deep and so personal. Others can help up to a point. But, you know, the Lord himself says, I am the one who comforts you. And I just think it's so important that we realize we need to support one another, but also to draw on that strength from the Lord. And I don't know, there might be someone today that you really do need to go up to and say, I'm walking with you, I'm standing with you, I'm here for you. But the last thing I want to look at is that these guys are being told, you've got to see the unseen. So let me just read from 34 onwards. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You have need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. You know, not everyone at the moment can see that he's coming back. Not everyone can see the spiritual unseen. But let me read you a verse from Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Not everyone can see it, but it says here, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Those who pierced him and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of it. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. You know, Jesus is coming back. We just sung this. And what did we sing? What was that last line of In Christ Alone? No power on earth, no scheme of man can ever touch. Read it again, Ruth. Till he returns, thank you, or calls me home. Do you know, it's absolutely certain one day you will look into his eyes, you will see his face, and it will all have been worth it. Have you ever been on a dreadful journey and you think, oh, this journey, and as you're travelling, all you can remember is the breakdown, the puncture, the queue of traffic, the heat, the cold, whatever it was. And then you get to your destination and you're with loved ones and the journey doesn't matter anymore because you're with your loved ones. And you know, one day we will be there with him and all the struggles and all the troubles of this time will be forgotten because we will see him as he is. Don't you long to see him? That one who loved you and gave himself for you. That one who's wanting you to know his love. One day you're going to see him. The trouble is that sometimes we're just too easily satisfied and our minds are on this, on these earthly things. It's a little girl making mud pies. But there's an unseen paradise. And sometimes, you know what? We are making mud pies. We're so We see the sights that dazzle, we've just sung that, the tempting sounds we hear. The world is too near, and it's mud pies. We have been promised paradise. Let's not let this world so encroach and fill our minds that we forget the truth of this. We are going to see him. But sometimes too, things that can be perfectly good can hold us back. There's nothing wrong with bananas. They're good. I like them. But when a banana is stopping you being free, something's got to let go. And there are sometimes things that are perfectly good. And the Lord says, if you're going to know my joy, if you're going to endure, you've just got to let it go. Lay it down. Hand it over. Jim Elliot, who was one of the five missionaries back in the 60s, I think, who was murdered as he went to take the gospel to the Orca Indians. I don't know if you remember that. Five young men murdered as they took the gospel because God had sent them there. But Jim Elliot said years before that, he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let me say that again, because you've got to get your head around that. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And you know, there are some things that we can try and hold on to, but they'll turn to sand in our hands. Let's let it go. I don't know what it is for you today, but let it go. Because this monkey is never going to know freedom while he's holding on to that. And for some of us, we've got to let something go. And then lastly, yeah, thank you. Graham's done a fantastic job here, you know. He has had a really absolutely brilliant morning. Thank you, Graham. Because, you know, it may be today, suddenly, the Saviour's coming back. One day, the people of this earth will wake up in the morning and it will seem like a normal day. And Jesus is coming in the clouds. That's what it says here. He who is coming will come and will not delay. You know, we need to live as though he died yesterday. He rose today and he's coming back tomorrow. That would change our lives, wouldn't it? As though he died yesterday, and it's so fresh in my memory. He rose today, and the wonder that he's with me, and he has defeated death, and he's coming back tomorrow. That would change some of our perspectives. So I just want to wrap up now with this one. So remember with thanks. Maybe some of us just need to say, Lord, burn the truth of the gospel into my heart again. Renew my passion. Wonder if there's a coldness towards the Lord. Trouble can do that sometimes, can't it? We focus on the trouble. And the Lord's saying, I want you to know my love. I want you to come back, come close. And we have to stand together. Is there someone that you need to buddy up with? Is there someone where you need to talk hope and faith to them? And then we need to see the unseen. Has the world clouded your view of spiritual things and your hope for the future? It's insidious. It can undermine our confidence. And we're told here, don't throw your confidence away. So let's just close. Look at those and think, Lord, what is it you want me to remember from this today? Open my eyes, Lord. And maybe, like me, you want to hold your hands out and say, Lord, renew my passion for you. Lord, fill my heart again with your love. Or maybe you want to hold your hands out and say, Lord, here are my hands. I want to support and encourage your people. I want to stand together with those who are in difficulty. Or is it, Lord, I've lost sight of the wonder that you're coming and you're calling me home. Lord, renew my ability to see the unseen. Lord, I pray that you'll touch our hearts here this morning. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, it is rock solid, unshakable. And Lord, we choose to put our confidence again today in all you've said and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.